aboard, you people, Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlanc is out for another day, week of broadcast influence.
All of the above. You know, congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights advancing to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh.
How about that? Their inaugural season.
Oh, God.
Pretty incredible.
Good for them. So happy.
Yeah.
Just like I am for Meghan Markle and the royal family.
Oh, I am happy for her. It just seems, it was perfect. Did you wake up early and watch it?
I did. I didn't even set an alarm. I just was up. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah, oh boy. I'm shocked to hear that.
I was asleep and then I woke up.
I woke my husband up. He didn't like that. He's like, I'm not watching that. Not watching that. But it was beautiful.
You know, I hope that all you people who got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch it felt goofy 4 hours later when you could just look at your phone and you could press every single one of the most important moments where you'd press a video. I watched the whole thing in 15 minutes.
That's not the same.
It's
not the same.
Oh, it's so much better.
Oh, no, it's not.
Condensed version? Love
yeah.
It. Love it.
I love it. It's like a highlight pack. It's basically like the shortcuts thing on NFL.
How long was this whole thing?
I don't know. I only watched 25 minutes.
Was it like a four-hour broadcast
or
something?
Well, yeah, easily, because there was a pre-show that was extensive.
But the actual ceremony, besides like the TV
the ceremony, probably an hour and a half. Yeah.
So you only watched 25 minutes of it.
I went back to bed, yeah. I just wanted to see the dress. You know, I had some things on my mind. The dress.
Because if you didn't watch it live, you never would have saw it.
Right.
No, but I wanted to be one of the, you know, see it live. It's different.
It is different. You got to see it in the moment. If you know.
I wasn't impressed.
Did you tweet about it?
I think I put it on my Insta story. Yeah,
my Insta story.
I thought it was cool that she had sort of a simple dress.
It didn't fit her.
Dress.
Does she not have a tailor? She needed it to be taken
dress drama, huh?
In the abdominal area, and it wrinkled too much when she sat. I did. It was a nice veil, though.
I thought she had a very natural look about her that you know she didn't have to go with. I thought it was beautiful, kind of effortless. She looked like she wasn't wearing a ton of makeup. And
what did they eat at the dinner?
Cabbage
rolls. I know.
Cabbage.
Sir Elton John had cabbage rolls.
Shepherd's pie.
Yeah, this wasn't a Serbian wedding.
Gussy.
Bordeaux showed up. Bronco wedding crashed the royal wedding.
Yeah. Was that gay crasher from Chicago there? Jerry Berlant walking past? That would have been something to see.
Probably tried to.
Walking her down the aisle. Hey, wait a second. Isn't that the guy from Chicago?
What's he doing here?
Boris out of nowhere.
Yeah, he tried to get in.
Oh, like Boris. Boris knows all about the royal wedding because, you know, four other of his secret police partners, former partners, were there.
Hey!
That empty seat right in front of the queen, that was for Boris, but he didn't make it.
Yeah.
Didn't get in. Maybe didn't wake up in time.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The queen, did you get the sense that every time I only saw her in these little snippet things, so mm-hmm. I only saw her for like a quarter of a second,
mm-hmm.
but she really looked like she had to go to the bathroom.
She just doesn't care.
She always kind of looks like that.
But it's like all weddings. Who really wants to go to the church portion of a wedding?
Well, this one I thought was amazing, wasn't it?
Well, no, you go, but I'm just saying in general, it's not like the most exciting things happening.
No, it's the worst part.
It's the royal wedding.
It's the worst part about a wedding.
This is the royal wedding. Did you hear the speech from the Chicago reverend? Did you hear the singing?
No, I was asleep again.
The choir, they were amazing.
That choir doing Stand By Me was spectacular. Now, I will give you that. They every note was three when they were doing Stand By Me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's like I remember in choral class because we were required it and I sucked at it. But I remember that was the whole point of it was to make every note, you know, on a register so that we go like, you know, up and down. And they did that. They were good. That chorus there at Windsor.
They were amazing.
Yeah, that was nice. And then the Chicago guy was great.
Yeah, wasn't he? I mean, speaking about the power of love and, oh, gosh.
The second time around.
Which, by the way, the worst thing at a wedding where you know that it's headed toward a disaster
this
anyway.
This is not headed toward disaster.
60% of them are.
History showed in her case it did.
Well, she found her prince, and so this is it.
Right, because it's really a prince. It took a real prince for her to finally lock it down and go, yeah, you know what? I'm fine. All right, a prince.
This is okay.
I'll take a prince.
She can live with this.
Yeah.
Northwestern grad.
Go Cats.
Thank you.
David Beckham showed up
and looking good.
Yeah,
didn't
I was like, this is just rude. Who invited this guy? Making every the guy so the focus good. Should be on the prince. Beckham shows up. Everyone's like, screw this guy. Look at Beckham. I thought it was rude by Beckham.
Beckham now has so much ink on his head. He looks like like a villain in a Liam Neeson movie.
He kind of does. It's hard for him to dress up because he can't really cover all the tats.
Because it's just nothing but ink coming out of your head, and you're like, at any minute now, Beckham's gonna kill somebody, Jack. I've got your kids. I've got a very specific set of skills. let's say a little bit of the Stand By Me.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we see,
it's going to get good here in a second. Don't worry about it. Keep it up here. We got to wait for the chorus to kick in. Yeah, this guy's
good. Stop talking during the service.
Just as long.
Oh my God, Beckham's got nothing but ink on the back of his neck.
Stand by the Queen's falling asleep.
I think Elton John just farted. So darling,
darling, stand. Who's the rugby player that's with the Royal? Did you see that guy?
Stand by. I don't think her dress is fitting right.
I like her messy bun hair.
No, that one piece of hair. I liked it.
No, that bothered me too.
Oh,
that piece of hair was terrible.
Like, because it wasn't perfect.
Shh, they're singing. If the
sky. Where's Boris sitting?
I don't know. Boris!
Hey!
The queen might hear you. Or the
mountains. Wait, the queen just woke up. Oh, she's mad at Boris.
Boris
just killed the queen. Oh, God. Oh, this is going to be ugly. Oh, Grandma.
I won't cry. No, I won't shed a tear.
Oh, God.
Just as long.
We're never getting invited to a wedding.
I know we're never going to be invited back. Stand hope by. I can get into the reception. He snuck in here.
So, darling, darling,
there we go.
Stand by me.
Janaz is nice.
Beautiful. Is this a sing-along?
No.
Sit down. Don't put your phone down.
Give me your lighter.
Stand by.
All right. Okay. That's what would happen if we had gone to the wedding.
Just beautiful.
All right. Let's find out now from Judy what's coming up at the bottom of the hour news. All right. Ben Bradley is joining us now from the WGN TV newsroom. And Benjamin,
Hi, Ben. Did you hear us?
Our reenactment is, if this show went to the royal wedding, what it would sound like.
It was. I thought it was superb, right up to the assassination.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it escalated quickly.
One too far. Well, Boris was there, so we were just worried because he seems like the kind of guy that would do
He's
that.
A wild card. You never know what to expect.
Yeah, we just don't know what's going to happen with Boris, yeah. Who knew Boris was packing?
He was protecting the queen.
He didn't hit her. You know what? Upon further review, I was wrong. She didn't get hit.
Okay.
In our reenactment.
I'm now more comfortable with it.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, all right, so we have many things happening here in Chicago. Coming up, Arnie Duncan's going to join us because he's calling for boycotting of the schools. I think it's a ridiculous concept, but at least it'll make a headline of some sort. Is he running for mayor? Is there something we need to know about him?
There are a lot of people in the pack.
He would be candidate number 11 by my tally.
Gee.
If he were to.
Yes, but no, he's not.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But is he running for something else?
Ooh. Interesting question.
Yep.
Oh.
So you're just going to put that out there?
Oh.
Well, yeah.
What else can you run
wait,
for?
Wait, I don't get it. Can someone tell me? I got it now.
Just sound surprised.
No, I still don't. Tell me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, just right. Good. Just pretend you know. You understand what's going on. It's better that way. And quite honestly, I don't know either, Ben. I don't know what to do. And I'm the one who's supposed to know these things.
Let's move along.
Okay.
Nothing to see here. Apparently,
Arnie Duncan's calling Ben now and just saying, hey, road testing all this with him. Hey, what do you think, Ben? Should I run for?
And then Ben turns around and says it on the radio.
Yeah. But then I can't tell you. I know, but I would tell you. I'd have to kill you if I told you. All right. So he's doing that. Now, in the meantime, you have, this is interesting.
Yeah.
You have new numbers on the number of people fleeing Illinois.
Well, it's not just the numbers, but the stories. You know, I feel like for a few years now, there have been a lot of headlines detailing the grim numbers. The most recent is just last year, Illinois lost 33,703 residents, while every state neighboring us has gained residents. We decided to spend some time with people who have already left for greener pastures.
Are they happier?
They are not only, at least among the unscientific survey we took, a lot of them are happier. A lot of them have seen a significant increase in the amount of money that they have in the bank.
And that's, look what's going on!
So relative to getting a better salary moving, or is it directly related to taxes and things affiliated with our state's
structure? Well, so those are great questions. So the people, so we went down to Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, everybody's going down there.
Which in the last 5 years has seen 17,100 people from the Chicago area move down to Nashville.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I get that.
There's a building boom of epic proportions going on down there. And Tennessee is like a lot of states that Illinois is losing residents to. It is a lower tax state, other than the shenanigans surrounding the Nashville mayor. it is a state that does not have the budgetary brinksmanship and dysfunction that Illinois has had. It does not have the pension debt and the unpaid bills that Illinois has. And so we met up with some people who, over the last couple of years, have decided to make that move. So one family is from Elmhurst, and they, like a lot of people, were at this kind of critical moment where they needed a bigger house. And they started looking around Elmhurst, and they realized that they couldn't afford a bigger house. And he starts talking to his financial planner, and he said, I travel every week for business. I guess it doesn't really matter which airport I fly out of. And his financial planner literally started putting in states that they were interested in and told him that in Tennessee, he would essentially get a 25% raise.
Oh, gee. Making the same amount?
Yes, because his property taxes are lower. There's no state income tax there. And so he and his family, with two kids in elementary school, moved down to Franklin, Tennessee. And as we walk down this guy's block, and it's a beautiful block, he points to one house and says, "Family who lives there, they moved from Hinsdale. See the house next to it? The family who lives there, they moved from Logan Square. And this family moved from Elmhurst."
Listen, all we need to know is that Billy Deck is opening up a Sunda down there. That's all I know is he's doing that. And
starting to be Chicago
right.
East.
Yeah, they get an East Bank Club, then you'll know we've hit max
and it's
saturation.
Right. And everybody's moving.
Yeah, there's a major law firm from here that's moving down there, a Chicago-based law firm.
Really?
That's going down there.
And the other issue is with the U.S. Census Bureau statistics, you find that people who have an average income that's higher than your average taxpayer, that those people are more leaving the state than others.
Right. And when you look at what a typical salary, if I had to quit my job, in Chicago and go work for Nashville's News Leader, my salary would be lower. And that's the case for a lot of people who are making purely a move where they have to quit one job and, get hired in a comparable job in Nashville, they might not enjoy the same income level that they would in Chicago.
But you get more for your money.
But you get a lot more for your money.
They're beautiful homes down there.
Another interesting story, it's a guy Ro, Brad Thor, who's a New York Times best-selling author.
Just to ask him.
From Chicago. And he, about 4 years ago, moved, and, he would call himself an economic refugee. He is very vocal about his dislike of Madigan and the political system here. And, there's a guy who could work from anywhere, and he moved down to Nashville, and what I thought was interesting when we met up with Brad down there was he said he wasn't the only one in his neighborhood who moved. There were four other families from his bus stop. All the kids went to the same school.
Yeah.
And they all moved to Nashville. So we actually kind of caught up with a bunch of his former neighbors.
Don't tell the people down in Nashville that all these people are moving in. These Illinois people are moving in. They're gonna move to Atlanta then.
They are starting to have some of the same problems that you would have here. There's a big battle down there for mass transit tax develop some of the transit.
That's one of the issues down there. And I love Nashville. I've been there a number of times. It's a great city. They like to refer to themselves as Hollywood for Republicans, because it's country music, and it is the epicenter now of the music industry in America, North America. All the great producers are there in the studios and musicians, and the nightlife is fantastic, and the restaurants are great, and it's got a lot of dynamics to it, but it's still a relatively small city. and it doesn't have a ton of infrastructure. And so people are moving out further and further and further into these outer rings, which are undeveloped. You know, you're on well water. You're not, you know, you don't have, there's a lot of other, it's beautiful. I mean, you can get acres and acres and acres of land for what you'd probably pay, what you could sell your house for if you want to live 30 minutes outside of Nashville.
Yeah, we, Franklin, Tennessee is 30 minutes outside of Nashville, and they have, you may remember a bunch of years ago, Disney created an entire town called Celebration down in Florida.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is something similar that's developed in Franklin, Tennessee.
Yeah, and they're doing this all over, basically all over this part of Tennessee.
It's like Mayberry.
Yeah, Central Tennessee or whatever they call it, North Central Tennessee. The issue that is that, you know, as they get more population there, they're going to sort of the blooms out the rose. But, you know, they got two great universities. Obviously, you know, you got Vanderbilt, one of the great universities in the country. There's also Belmont, and you've got a couple of others in that area. You've got great hospitals. It does have a lot of really good things happening for it. I'm now working for the Board of Tourism, apparently.
I'm like, wow, Rose, sell it.
But
don't make more people leave. We need taxpayers here.
But the weather isn't as great as you think, people. They get a half inch of ice, and you're not moving for 3 days. All right, I got to run, Ben. Thank you. We'll see this tonight.
Great. What time for that?
9 o'clock on WGN.
9 o'clock. All right.
What an interesting report.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Hate their hockey team.
Well, yeah, and the hockey fans are the worst ever there. Predators.
They're pretty awful.
Schmetters.
Yeah. And then, you know, they got the football team down there.
Yeah. Terrible stadium. And they got Jay Cutler over there, too.
They don't got basketball or nothing. You know, what do you want? What do you want? Next thing you know, the Sox are going to move there. Oh, my God. All right.
Stop.
Here we go. Here is Judy Pilek standing by. WGN isn't too. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, this White House meeting that was taking place between the FBI director and the deputy attorney general has just ended, and the White House now says that they have asked the Department of Justice, the White House has asked the Department of Justice for more information about to expand the inspector general's role at the Department of Justice to look into campaign irregularities or investigation irregularities of the Trump campaign, whatever that happens to mean. But here's the piece that really could be newsworthy today. The president would like to set up a meeting with congressional leaders and his FBI director and his director of national intelligence to go over all of the top secret documents, so far top secret documents from the investigation.
Who do they want to go over the?
It's the president, the chief of staff, the director of national intelligence would be Dan Coats, the former senator from Indiana, and the FBI director.
Hmm.
Now, just stop and think about that for a second. That's kind of a conflict to show the guy that whose campaign was under investigation for collusion or for conspiracy. There really is not a charge of collusion, but conspiracy to you get to see the stuff before it gets out. I didn't like that one. Rip it up. I mean, where does it go? That seems like that could create a. That could create a bit of a crisis right there. We're going to find out if I'm just wrong about that or right about that. Now, in the meantime, as we're going to get some legal analysis of that coming up in just a second, I want to talk to Arne Duncan, who is, you remember, was former Secretary of Education.
We do.
And now he's the managing partner at Emerson Collective. And you are asking, Mr. Duncan, for parents to start boycotting schools until the schools, politicians, administrators can keep the schools safe. I mean, that doesn't seem very realistic to me. It doesn't. It really doesn't.
It's a controversial idea for sure.
Yeah. I mean, are we just trying to make a point here? What are we doing here, Arne?
I think we're trying to do a lot more than make a point, to be clear. I think we have far too many children and adults being killed by guns and gun violence every year in our country. And we've had a passivity, an acceptance of that I think we can no longer tolerate. And the goal here is absolutely to be provocative and to challenge and to frankly create some tension that hasn't existed to get people to make changes that would allow children to grow up free of fear and just tragedy after tragedy, heartbreak after heartbreak, it has to stop. And doing more of the same doesn't make sense. So this is very intentionally a radical idea, but playing by the traditional rules clearly hasn't worked. It's been an absolute failure.
Arnie, what is it you would think is the one move you could make? Obviously, considering that I'm sure you'd like to see more than one move, but one move that would give you some hope that things are going to be secure. Is there something you would name right
off
the bat?
I'll give you three, Anna, that are wildly popular across the American public. 70, 80, 85% of the American public supports. First would be criminal background checks for everyone who purchases a gun. Second would be a ban on assault weapons, on weapons of war. And third would be to restore funding for research into the impact of gun violence. And again, these are, you know, have tremendous, you know, bipartisan public support, but Congress has failed to act. And, you know, just think about if we were to take a couple of days as we go back to school next fall, you know, after Labor Day, see what happens. If we get significant change, that's fantastic. If not, then you hold legislators accountable as you go into the November elections. But this kind of level of death and heartbreak and destruction of family just simply doesn't happen in other countries. And the fact that we have allowed it to happen so passively here for so long, for me, is just untenable.
Let me ask you about the assault weapon question here, because obviously that's one that they were that as soon as that heads toward Capitol Hill, it gets choked, gets drowned in the bathtub, as some Republicans like to say. Would you just ban the sale of future weapons, or would you want to take the existing weapons?
I think, you know, taking weapons back is difficult. You know, whatever I personally like, that's hard. But I think just saying, you know, owning these things going forward, I think just doesn't make sense. Again, they're made for the battlefield. They're not made for civilians. And if you look at, you know, not all, but so many of these mass shootings, and to be clear, this is a societal problem. It's not a school problem. This is in church, tragically. This is on the baseball field with congressional leaders. This is in malls. This is in movie theaters. This is every part of America has been touched by it. And all too often, it's the violence on the mass shootings is done with assault weapons. Doesn't happen in other countries. Doesn't happen.
You saw in the Florida situation where he obtained the weapons legally, and he did get an assault weapon, which you'd like to see banned. In the second case, this gunman got the guns from his father, who also obtained them legally, or from his family. I mean, what do you make of that?
Obviously, you can't prevent every tragedy from shooting, but we could prevent with some common sense measures the vast majority of tragedies from happening. If you look at over the past, you know, 8-9 years, the United States has had something like 288 mass shootings. The next country, like second, has had only like 8. I mean, it's unbelievable the disparities there.
Right. It's actually, it's multiples of all of those other countries, all the other developed countries combined.
We have 4% of the planet's population, and we own 42% of the guns. And there's a direct correlation between that and the number of innocent people whose lives are lost.
All right, Arnie. So, are you calling for a specific day to do this?
No, we're still, you know, we're still thinking this thing, you know, through. But you know, again, it is, you know, definitely we understand it would be difficult and hard. I just think it's difficult and hard to keep burying innocent people. I think it's difficult and hard, and I'm a parent of two teens. All of us are parents, to send our children to school and have them be killed. This past, you know, so far in 2018. This is just a crazy statistic, but it's true. You have a greater likelihood of being killed in school than if you're serving the military overseas. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. You still have a greater likelihood of being killed. And the truth is, and I mean, these are related in part to what you're talking about, but not completely, but you also have greater likelihood of getting killed on the streets of Chicago than you do in a school.
Absolutely. I'm working every day as hard as I can on the Chicago issue. We have a lot of hard work ahead of us.
Yeah.
So this is a societal issue. It's not a school issue. It's not a Chicago issue. It's a societal issue. And the simple question for me is this: we're at a fork in the road. Are we going to continue to tolerate and accept this level of death or not? And
all right, Arnie.
I'm strongly, clearly, the camp that is no longer acceptable, hasn't been acceptable. We got to do some radical things and create some tension to force politicians to move or hold them accountable for not moving.
All right. Arnie Duncan, he is a managing partner of Emerson Collective. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Arnie.
Thanks, Arnie.
You guys have a good day.
All right. We're going to talk to a lawyer about what just happened at the White House here. Trump just met with Rod Rosenstein and the Deputy Attorney General and the FBI Director about his demand for an investigation into the tactics of the FBI as they were investigating his campaign in 2016. But we knew that was coming. They agreed. Director Wray agreed, as did Rosenstein, to allow the DOJ Inspector General to expand his role in terms of looking into that. But what Trump is now asking for is to see the documents that have thus far not been made available from the investigation. Does this create a crisis? We'll explain why with a lawyer coming up. Right after, Judy tells us what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Mac McAnally has been a member of Jimmy Buffett's Coral Reefer Band since 1994. He's joining the Steve Cochran Show in studio tomorrow, 8:40 a.m.
All right.
So how much different is your deck now, Ro, from the last time you invited us over? Like, is it similar, like...
We haven't seen it, so we really wouldn't know.
The whole bottom basement area is totally different now. Wow. Not basement, first level.
Boy, I bet it looks really
Don't
nice.
Say basement. Yeah,
can't wait to see it. Thanks, we'll be there soon.
All right, Renato Mariotti is joining us, and he is a former federal prosecutor. You see him on CNN. He's a partner at Thompson Coburn as well, mm-hmm. here in Chicago. And we have about 2 minutes here, but I need your analysis of this. The president met with the FBI director and the deputy attorney general. He said he wants an investigation into whether or not the FBI was spying on him and infiltrating his campaign for political purposes. They agreed to allow the inspector general to look into that. That's the first thing. But the second thing is he wants to see the documents that the FBI has on his campaign, and he wants a meeting with the director of national intelligence, his chief of staff, and the FBI, and he wants to see what they've got. Is that a crisis since they're looking at his own campaign? Oh, no.
Oh,
hold on.
We scared Renato away.
No, I got him. I got him. I saved him.
Is that me?
That's you.
There you go.
All right. Go ahead.
No, that is the president abusing his power and his authority. Typically when the FBI is investigating you, you don't have the you don't have access to their documents. You don't have access to their internal reports. And typically you'll get those if you are indicted, before trial, but at an appropriate time. What he's trying to do is obtain the reports and evidence that have been collected by the FBI before he's interviewed, so that he knows essentially knows what the FBI knows what the Justice Department knows, and he can craft his answers around those questions. It's very problematic.
If they're really looking for investigating Russia ties to the campaign, I think we all understand that. Let's suggest that if the president is right, just for a moment, that this was all about political purposes, that was the reason behind it, to use the DOJ and FBI as for political reasons to investigate what he was doing. What should be done here? What would you think is the right way to handle this? To find that out.
Sure. I think that certainly the Office of Inspector General that is looking at it now is totally able and appropriate way to handle that. That's an independent office within the Justice Department that is tasked with investigating wrongdoing within the Justice Department. But I will say there's no evidence to indicate that is the case. That's an allegation that's been made by the president with no supporting evidence whatsoever. And it's frankly problematic that he has called for an investigation into the people investigating him based on nothing at all, other than pure conjecture. And it's frankly concerning because, the president is using his power against the people investigating him, and no one is speaking up about it. No one in his own party who's in Congress. And that really concerns me as a citizen.
All right, Renato. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, Renato.
Sorry for bungling your introduction.
No problem.
A few minutes.
All right.
And the grand entrance for Renato to the Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Exactly. Just kind of the wrong button. All right. Let's check out now what's happening at Judy Pilak's News. And that is just 2 minutes away. Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Tom Skilling joins us, brought to you by PermaSeal Basic Systems.
Happy Monday, guys.
Hold on, you talked over your sponsor.
There's nothing happy about this Monday. Sorry, go ahead.
All right.
This is like
you just—you can't shush Tom Skilling.
I have to because it's about sponsorships. He knows that.
I know.
He wasn't born yesterday.
I know.
Shush him.
Jeez.
Tom Skilling, brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
There you go.
See, I'll tell you that was one of those courses I slept through the respect for your advertiser class at school.
No bucks, no Buck Rogers, pal.
That's true.
I know.
And those are real life lessons there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've also slept through at times the turn on your microphone before you go on.
Right. But and then remember to turn it off.
I know. Yes.
That's a very
good
important
point.
Lesson.
Yes. So I'm kind of learning on the job here, you know, half a century into this career. So. Happy Monday, guys.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday back at you. I appreciate what you did in the weather forecast. I just heard it right there. It's
what
been
do you appreciate?
Just, oh, it's been so, oh, what an awful yesterday
awful.
And today.
Awful. Dreadful. I mean, you know, really, we just had a conspiracy against us on
it's
this.
Like it's January with a longer day.
Yeah.
I know.
And with a miserable dampness that can only be attributed to, you know, spring. It gets warm enough to get a lot of moisture in the air, and then it comes off the lake. It's back to that old put the tarp over the lake for, you know,
three, four months. Or just maybe big fans, heat the lake. I have so many ideas, Tom. And no one is listening to
no
me.
One.
I know.
Absolutely
or me,
no
Ro.
Yeah, I know.
I know. We'd simply, you would think that. You know, with our careers having been as long-lasting as they have been here, that somebody would be listening to us on these things.
Nothing. Not a thing. Between the two of us, it's 70 years of broadcasting in this town.
You think that would stand for something.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, did you guys say something?
Yeah.
I know, that's exactly what it is. Hey, by the way, I just want to point out, tomorrow on the program, this just locked down for us, so I should mention this. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow on the program, James Clapper, former director of National Intelligence, will be joining us.
Very interesting.
To talk about
what a time to
what's
talk
happening,
to him.
Boy, isn't
what's
that
happening
the
in
truth,
Washington. Anna. And another very interesting thing, Mike Monica will be here at 5:40 today to discuss what just happened in Washington, where the president is demanding that he see the FBI files on him.
Wow.
And the campaign. Which would allow him to be able to see what the answers are before he sits down with Robert Mueller.
What do you think, Ro? Is that going to work, or is he going to get that? Or
well, there is a crisis that's brewing here, and now he believes he's got a solid congressional base of supporters that will help him in a situation like this and demand this.
And he's probably right, based on past performance.
I was so far, but then you wonder. To me. The most interesting piece of this has been, for the last week or so, you have been seeing in the guys like Clapper, John Brennan, former head of the CIA, Michael Hayden, former head of the CIA and the NSA, people who were part of the transition from Obama to Trump, who were briefing Trump on what was going on. You have seen them all come out and say roughly the same thing, which is, I've seen things that are not out there yet, and buckle your seatbelts.
Wow.
And that has been, they've all said it in the last, I would say, 10 days.
Wow. Very interesting.
And you just wonder, as they've watched the president go very, very hard at the FBI and at the investigation, and specifically at Mr. Mueller, and saying, "Hey, listen, we got to be done with this." They've been sort of road testing that. Hey, can we? Yeah, he should end this. Let's roll this up now. Rudy Giuliani said, "Let's move along here." Yeah, the president will sit down. He'll answer three questions. He'll give him 20 minutes. Goodbye. You know, a thing like that, and that should be good enough. But if he gets to see what they have already, he gets to go, well, no, that's not true. But what ends up there is that his kids go to prison, I think, is kind of more likely. But he would have to, he'd then have to pardon people. I mean, this could be, if what these three guys are saying, now you have to remember that all three of them did work for Barack Obama. However, two of them worked for George Bush.
Well, that's true. And aren't a number of them Republicans? I mean, I see Michael Hayden. I saw him on C-SPAN. It was a terrific, one of those bookstore things where he was talking about the book he's written recently, and it was fascinating.
Yeah.
And I think he said
it's
was
an excellent book, by the way.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to reading it. But didn't he say he was a Republican? Or I don't know.
Yeah, I think most of those guys are. Most of the law enforcement types are. But now they're getting, I don't think this is really about Republicans so much. This has really become.
We're beyond that.
The Republican Party Republicans in America have to make a decision. Are they for or against Trump? Trump wants to create his own brand. He does. I mean, that's what he's great at. So it's all about Trump. Is it Trump? Are you with me? Because you know, his fiscal policy isn't exactly conservative Republican fiscal policy, right? I mean, he's spending money like a drunken sailor, even though he doesn't drink, and not a sailor. But he has a lot of the kinds of he's a populist. He's punching people in the face. We're in a few minutes. We're going to talk to John Najarian coming up about China. I quite honestly think that the president. We'll see what happens in North Korea. I think that's more complicated. That story is not written yet. But, you know, he's getting China to move a little bit.
Yeah, it sounds like it, doesn't it?
Some are arguing that he's getting kind of used by China because China's not saying exactly what it is they're going to do. But they got ZTE taken off the hook, but they're pushing back on our. They're going to suspend the tariffs on soybeans, which is good for Illinois.
Good. So we want that. Beef and soybeans,
yep.
People involved in a lot of agricultural products producing those kinds of agriculture for our country are going to be happy with this announcement.
Absolutely.
Statement. So you've got those things going. So Republicans are going, well, listen, we got the tax break, we got this, we've got that. There's no longer a concern about the deficit. But we can grow our way out of that, and that's still yet to be seen. Maybe we can, maybe we can't. But they can at least hang their hat on that at the moment. The question now is, in order to keep that kind of thing going, do Republican legislators and Republicans sort of at the ballot box in November or 2 years from November, do they say, well, I know, the guy's kind of a jerk. I know very few Republicans that I talk to are big Trump supporters who go, well, the guy's a jerk, but, you know, and then there's always these other things. I mean, does he rise to the level of criminal jerkery, or is he just, you know, your garden variety jerk, and then we'll take a garden variety jerk who's going to help out the economy? That's really the debate that a lot of people are having. But where this all falls is, you know, this is interesting because you could see exactly how this could have occurred, right? Young, these people have never been in a political campaign like this. They probably did not know it was illegal to get help from foreign governments.
Right.
And they were talking to foreign governments, and foreign governments were going to tell them, oh, by the way, it's illegal for us to help you, but let's try this. You know, I mean, you could definitely see Donald Trump Jr. calling his dad, Dad, guess what? Oh, my God, Israel and the Arabs are getting together. We can do peace with them because they both want Barack Obama to lose. We got this. They're going to help us. Dad. Right? I mean, it's sort of like that. Or that Russian woman, she was here and she wanted to, you know, I don't know what she was asking. It was something about adoption, but, you know, they said they want to help us. I don't know. What do you want to do, Dad? I mean, boom, that sort of stuff. It turns out no matter what that is, that's illegal. They may not have known it. That does not mean that they won't go to jail for it if it's proven, but I think the president's going to make the argument, hey, listen, we were doing this. And these guys are coming after us. It's all political. Mueller is a Democrat, even though he's not. Comey's a Democrat. Comey's a liar. Rosenstein's out to get us. He's going to make everybody. And then the House of Representatives is going to have to decide whether or not they're going along with this. And in their districts, these people, you know, where Hillary Clinton lost by 40 points to Donald Trump, those House members aren't exactly going to run around and go, we're with her now.
That's true.
And the answer is always, well, what about Hillary Clinton? To which I would like to just say, I heard two guys having an argument about that this weekend. She's not president. Fine, lock her up. That makes you feel better. Have Donald Trump call him, tell him to lock her up. But what Donald Trump is being accused of is what you want to lock her up for.
I know.
So you have to make a decision.
Well, and haven't some of his people circumvented the email restrictions?
Security,
too?
All that stuff. The same stuff. It's all the same stuff. And then this thing about the informant, right? There was an informant for the FBI that was asking people on his campaign. That's what started this whole thing now. Well, that Veslanskaya woman who met with Don Jr., says she was an informant for the Kremlin.
She's admitted that since.
I mean, right.
She didn't obviously go into that meeting.
No, but she's admitted that she was an informant for them.
Mm-hmm.
So are they meeting? So then are they upset that the kids met with an embedded spy into their campaign? Why aren't they upset about that?
It's a, I'll tell you, we're watching history unfold, and
couldn't have predicted this.
Big deal.
Wow, you could. This is as good as a Netflix series.
Oh,
you
know? it's like Homeland got nothing on this.
Only it's scary because it's real life.
It's real.
Know?
That's the problem. See, I can't watch any of those things now because it's
I know this. Is,
none of it really adds up to what we're dealing with right now, and this could really affect us. And,
are you getting to the point though where you want something to happen here? At least to tell us where all this is going and all. I know everybody's been happy that nothing is leaked out of the Mueller camp.
I think that's what they want. I mean, that's the
at
thing.
At some point, something's got
to... I think it does have to wrap up, and especially before the midterm elections, right?
Yeah.
I think we all see the need for that
It would
to
seem,
happen.
You know, it's like that email thing went on for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You
but Whitewater
thinking,
went on for 7 years.
Why isn't this wrapped up by now? You know?
7 years Whitewater went on for.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's always the politics of that. Benghazi went on for 4 years.
I know.
Right? I mean, those kinds of investigations go on, they go on, they go on. And now, generally, if they go on forever, they don't really yield a lot. But, you know, it took 2 years in Watergate.
It did. I know. You know, we don't remember that clearly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't. I mean, I would like to see the truth come out, and I would like to see American justice be served here.
All of us, yeah.
No matter where the chips fall.
It's true.
And then, I'm suspicious of the president because he's got funny hair, and I would like.
Is that why?
It's one of the reasons. And he did.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Although, how would you like to be him this weekend? Hell hath no fury. Like your wife returning from 5 days in the hospital and you sending out a tweet with the wrong name of your wife.
Melanie?
Right? Yeah.
Who's that?
Did he?
Yeah.
He goes,
I want to welcome home Melanie. It was obviously it's a thumb error because the A and the E are not too far away from each other on the keyboard.
That's true.
But it just, you know, you think, again, he should go through it one time. Don't you do that before you send a text or a...
You know what,
though?
I'll tell you, though, Ro, I've put some Facebook stuff up. I'm doing 14 things at once, and I find all kinds of errors. And I think afterwards, you know, you almost ought to type it out, let it sit for a few minutes, and then go back to it again and read it. Because you read it 14 times.
If it's your wife's name, Tom, I'm just going to tell you this right
now.
Well, I
know. Now, that is
I'm going to tell you, from a guy who was married twice, let me just tell you this.
You don't mess that up?
Yeah.
Is that a bad one?
Do not, especially if you're like publicly tweeting to try to win her back over a little bit here.
That is true.
Because things aren't going real great, you know, in the headlines for the marriage.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do that, you want to spell her name right before you hit send.
Yes.
Or
well, especially with all the other stuff that's come out and all, you know, I mean, this has got to be a difficult time for his wife.
Yeah, get
my
that gosh. Right. And she's already getting, you know, she's obviously tender from the procedure or whatever, right? That's why they kept her for 5 days.
I hope that's all right.
I do too.
You know what? I was reading some things over the weekend that normally the recuperation period is a day or something like that in the hospital or something. And it's
a little mysterious, but you know, when this is all said and done.
Yeah.
I think one of the people that, if I had to just guess, and so far I've been pretty good at guessing who's going to go to jail and who isn't in this.
Yeah.
And I would say that Melania will be seen as a good guy all of this at the end.
Well, look at the ratings already. You know, she enjoys very positive
approval, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, approval.
All right. Tom, it's going to get nicer this week. Thank you very much for doing that. Appreciate
warmest
it.
Warmest weather of the year coming.
All right.
Maybe a 90 before the end of the week.
Yeah.
Or at least something close to it.
Yeah, right now I've got a parka on.
I know.
I'm wearing a blue tarp, too. And
This has been really disappointing. It really has.
That's all right. It's okay.
Got to change.
It's almost over. All right. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Let's check
Happy
in.
Happy Monday.
Thank you. With Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A state inspector criticizing Governor Rauner for patronage hiring.
Oh, God. Notice that we don't, there's not a lot of attention on what's going on in Springfield. God knows what's going on down there. God knows what the stealing is. Hey, Violetta, what's happening on the roads? Conjo with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Steve Stone joins us right now, being brought to you by Steve Stone on Baseball, is brought to you by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants.
And stop and get the macaroni and cheese if you want to at Bub City on Clark Street. It's an extravaganza. You'll love it.
Oh, I love a good macaroni and cheese.
There you go.
That's a great plug.
That's very good.
Especially,
I like that. Yeah. Like the way that worked out right there.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's a fine. It is as good as it gets. They got really good barbecue over there too.
Yeah,
I got my favorites.
Yes, they do.
They got, I don't know, what do they got, 40 restaurants now or something like that. I have specific ones too. I'd like to start doing that too. Just start dropping the let us entertain you restaurants.
Ramen san on a day like today with the rain.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Violetta. Yeah. Thank you for doing that.
That would be perfect.
Thank you.
Now I'm hungry.
Yeah.
A little RPM steak. Yeah,
well, that would be nice, too.
Although, good.
You know what I like? The best sushi in Chicago is at Sushi-san right now, as far as I'm concerned.
Way to plug them. I like Shaw's myself.
But, and I believe there's another Ramen-san opening up near you in the West Loop.
Oh,
yeah.
Exciting stuff.
I think next week.
Don't you have a relative who works over there?
My son-in-law, you mean?
Yeah. Right.
What?
I forgot about that.
All right.
Sorry, Steve.
Sorry, we ran away. We actually hijacked your own plug, is what we did. And then we turned it into our own advantage.
Can't beat that.
All right. Hey, let me ask you about this. You know, the big trade talks about Manny Machado and, you know, are the Orioles going to let go of him? Will he end up at the Cubs? The White Sox want him to sign him at the end of this season. Is it possible? Do you see a route here by which he ends up? I know we alluded to this last week, but is there a route by which he ends up as a Cub for a rental for the remainder of this season and then with the White Sox next year?
I think it would be very difficult for the Cubs to make that acquisition for the simple reason that, number one, their farm system has been used the last few years to accumulate a lot of the talent that they have. We are the beneficiary on the Sox of Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease, two really good players that will be here and contributing in the major leagues for Jose Quintana. You can't blame them for doing that because Quintana, they felt, was a missing piece of the puzzle, and he is a quality starting pitcher. So they gave up a whole lot of tomorrow for a lot of today. But as far as the Machado deal, you have to understand that with Scott Boras as his agent, there's very little chance, almost no chance, that you're going to be able to sign him to an extended contract during the course of this year. So if you understand he is a rental player, then if you do bring him in as a shortstop, which he is because you've got Bryant at third base, Machado enjoys shortstop and he's having a banner year at that position, then you have to trade Addison Russell. You trade Addison Russell, and then all of a sudden you find yourself looking at Javi Baez as your shortstop. That's fine. Then you need a second baseman because Baez is your best third baseman, your best shortstop, and your best second baseman, but he's only one guy, can only play one position. So if they decide to trade Russell, that would be good enough. Then you'd have to find that second baseman every day if, in fact, you move Baez to shortstop, which he can certainly play and play well. I just think that what they'd have to give away, I'm not exactly sure what they have left in the minor leagues. I do know that most of their stars are gone. So you'd probably have to start with Kyle Schwarber. That would be one guy that Baltimore would take back, maybe as a player to be named later after the season or something along those lines, because right now, for Baltimore this year, it's a lost year. They're not going to be able to do anything. And then they have to go on a major rebuild. They're going to want young players back in return. I'm not sure the Cubs have those young players, but if they do, well, then obviously Machado is a difference maker. I mean, he is that good. He's having a banner season, and he has a lot of incentive this year because he's going to be that free agent. He's going to sit and wait what Harper gets, and Bryce Harper is going to get, by all expectations, he's going to get anywhere from $300 to $400 million. When that happens, and I think it will to somebody, then obviously Machado is going to get a whole lot of money, and again, he's going to be very expensive for the Cubs or anybody else. As far as the Sox spending that much money on him, I'd like to think that we could get a player of his magnitude. I just don't think that the White Sox are going to spend what Manny Machado is going to get, so I view the choices of being him coming here with the money expended, I just don't think that's going to happen.
All right. So when you have a moment, though, like the White Sox are having, where they're in a rebuild and you do have Eloy Jimenez coming up and you do have this youth core that could be gelling. It's a lot of raw talent. There's high expectations for what this franchise is going to look like in 2 or 3 years. Is Machado, just forget about if money were no object, is Machado the kind of piece that the White Sox should get, or can they pass on for somebody else or for two other players?
Well, if price were no object, obviously you'd want him on your ball club. And then if you get him here and he plays shortstop, you move Tim Anderson to center field, it might cure your problems in center field. So, yeah, I mean, but
money is always an object. And, you know, if money were no object, you'd want to get Bryce Harper also, along with Manny Machado, and perhaps a couple of other guys.
I know, well, I'm trying to make money, not no object, I'm trying to make it a little less of an object. Because, right. I mean, the franchise does have to look at, there's a lot of considerations here for the White Sox, right? There's considerations of not only where the team's going to be, but there's also gate, there's ad revenue, there's all those things that they, that a gigantic megastar like that would you know, they don't really pay for themselves directly, but they certainly help float the boats.
No, you're right about that. And a great example is a lot of people felt that Artie Moreno with the Angels overpaid for Albert Pujols because he got $275 million. They thought at the time, wow, for a guy who was a little bit older, and Pujols certainly was very good for them and is still pretty good for them, they thought there was a whole lot of money and maybe money that was kind of squandered. But the reality was that just in the new television contract they signed and also in season tickets and the increase in that, the day they signed Albert Pujols, he actually paid for himself.
Right.
So that's something that you have to bear in mind when you look at quality players. But then you'd think that if Manny Machado was the one missing piece of the puzzle, it might be something you'd entertain. However, he's not. There's still a lot of puzzle that has to be reassembled for the Sox to be able to be ready to win. And obviously, when you look around, you can tell the placeholders on this team, and I say placeholders because they're guys waiting for younger, better players to take their spot. Obviously, Anderson is one of those guys that you're building with, as is Moncada, as probably is Abreu, and I say probably because he might fall into the category, row of a player that is worth more to the organization, both on the field and off the field, and his leadership with the young Latino players. That might be worth more than you can get in return, in which case you sign him again and you hope that he plays his entire career with the White Sox because he's that good in the clubhouse and they put young players with him and he teaches them how to do it. And I don't think you can get in return for him commensurate with what he does to the ball club. So let's say that he's one of the building blocks also. Then you have to figure that a lot of different positions and guys that I didn't name at various positions are guys that they're probably going to look to fill. The bad break was Jake Berger. With his Achilles tendon and the setback again re-injuring the Achilles tendon. So nobody really knows how that's going to work out for a third baseman for the future. But obviously, the outfielders for the Sox in the minor leagues are good. There's a lot of really talented guys around. Blake Rutherford is one of them. Eloy Jimenez, everybody talks about him. Lewis Robert, in a few years, everybody will talk about him, right, assuming that he stays healthy. So the talent is there. The question that nobody knows, Ro, is will they take the next step or the next couple of steps? Nobody can figure that out until they actually do it. And when you take a look at Atlanta, take a look at Albies and Acuna at 1 and 2 in their lineup, along with Freeman, who makes them legitimate, you see how quickly it can happen with talented young players. The Sox have those guys, not quite as advanced as the two guys I mentioned, but that's an object lesson to how quickly it can come around. So would I, were I one of the owners of this team, love to have Machado? Absolutely. But if he's going up over $300 million, I'd have to pass on him and wait for some other guys who are not quite as talented, but maybe a little more in reality financially.
Well, they can wine him and dine him tonight when he's in town. All right, Steve, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Steve Stone.
Thanks,
on Steve. Baseball.
My pleasure. Take care.
Brought to you by Lettuce Harrington New Restaurants. Right now, let's check in with Judy, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Indy 500 champ Helio Castroneves stops by the Steve Cochran Show. How about that? 9:40 tomorrow. Talk about all things Indy and racing.
And Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, I forgot about that. Great dancer, it turns out.
Yeah.
Those athletes always do. Well.
Rose's favorite show.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I have some thoughts on American Idol I'd like to share with you a little bit later on.
Okay. You digging it now? You getting into it?
Are you trying out?
I just watched. I just have thoughts. I just watched the 2-hour thing last night.
You watched all 2 hours?
Yeah. I recorded everything. I watched the Billboard Awards. Mm-hmm. Dr. J knows what I'm talking about here. John Najarian. Mm-hmm. You know the creator of Option Monster.
He has no time to watch TV.
He doesn't. I think he does. I think he steals time. I think it's what he does. To do that. You can do this now when you bend time with your DVR, right? So I was able. I watched 4 different things last night that I would not have been able to watch if I didn't speed through the commercials, which you cannot do on radio. I'd just like to point that out.
No.
To the advertisers.
Thank you.
All right. A couple things here. First of all, can I ask you a question, Dr. J? Do we think that the negotiations are going well with China here? Because it seems that even though there's been a lot of criticism about the ZTE deal for all the right reasons, there is good criticism of that. The Chinese have suspended the tariffs against U.S. farm goods here that we're most concerned about in the Midwest, soybeans and beef.
And corn.
And corn and pork and all that. So what, and they use a special cut of the pork that we don't use. So that's been, you know, pork farmers here, pig farmers love it. Love to have that Chinese trade. Do you think the negotiations are going well? Do we trust the Chinese are going to be doing the right thing here? What are your thoughts on it?
I do. I think they want it to succeed, Ro, and obviously they send a lot more to us than we send to them. So it's a lot easier for us to hurt them than for them to hurt us. I mean, they can cut back on buying from farmers for a certain period of time, but, you know, that's one way that you get not only kicked out of office in China, but you generally, your life expectancy would be pretty bad if the people don't eat. So the fact that they elected to, as one of the comebacks, go back against the United States with agricultural products when their people have just kind of learned to enjoy proteins, that's a big problem for them.
It seems like
so
it.
I don't think it was going to last.
Dr. J, you look at the picture here, and the Dow's up above 25,000 again. It seems like the markets are very encouraged by what they see happening here. But I guess the devil's in the details, and as Roe points out, what do you think will come from this? Larry Kudlow mentioned that there is supposed to be at least $200 billion or more in terms of the trade deficit benefiting the U.S. that would come from this. And there are a lot of sort of promises being floated out there. I mean, this agriculture situation seems to be beneficial to us. But do you think long-term there's going to be some substance coming out of this?
I do. But I wish Anna, and I'm sure Mr. Kudlow does too, that it was more about intellectual property, because that's one of the areas where we could certainly export a ton to China. But unfortunately, their intellectual property, for that matter, property laws, are not nearly as strong as other parts of the United States or the developed world. So you worry about putting money into factories over there because maybe they just decide to take them, as Venezuela did. You might worry also about the technology that you give them reverse engineering it and just stealing it. So that's been a big issue. I think we could easily overcome the trade issue if we could have that addressed. But overall, I think the negotiations, at least now that it's back to a negotiation rather than a threat, are going better.
So that's not part of it, the intellectual property? Will they get to that piece of it?
I think they will, but thus far, from what I've heard, Anna, it's not part of it. They wanted that to be part of it, and obviously Navarro and Lighthizer wanted that to be a big part of their focus. And initially, it seemed like it was going to be, but right now, intellectual property laws are not going to be nearly what we had hoped. But some of the others, I mean, like 25% on imported cars from the United States, a 25% tariff. Hopefully that either gets eliminated or they've already talked about cutting it to 10%. Whatever they cut it by, it'll certainly help sell more American product in the form of cars over there. And there's a lot of other examples as well.
And just very quickly, a big local business story today, MB Financial just was sold to Fifth Third Bank here. That's Chicago-based MB Financial, Chicago-area-based MB Financial, to Cincinnati-based Fifth Third Bank, another bank consolidation move. Good or bad for the Chicago economy? Or push?
I don't think it affects the Chicago economy as much, but I think overall there's going to be a lot more of this, Ro and Anna. I think we're going to see the fact of that they're loosening up a little bit on some of these systematically important financial institutions and what it means for how much they have to carry as far as reserves and so forth. That mainly affects the biggest of the big banks like J.P. Morgan, yeah. Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Merrill. But this other tier, we'll call them super regional banks like Fifth Third, they are going to be pretty free to basically buy up some of their smaller competitors and expand their offerings. So I'm not surprised by it. I think we'll see more of this, and you and I will be talking about more of this, I'm sure, in the future.
All right. Dr. J, thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks,
appreciate
Dr.
you being
J.
with us. Dr. J. John.
Thank you Jerry. Both. Love listening to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. He's lying, but I like the fact that he's like willing that to lie for us. Yes, it's all good. It's all good for
positive
us.
Positive things.
Thank you, my friend. All right, right now we've got Judy Pilak standing by. WGN is. Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Barack and Michelle Obama enter into a multi-year deal with Netflix. They're going to produce films and television shows.
Netflix and show with the Obamas.
With the O's.
I don't think their daughters will do that.
Now look. Michelle and I are going to turn off lights.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get it on.
Oh, gee.
Oh, we're going to talk about presidential stuff.
Don't think they're going to produce that kind
of stuff. We're really going to get it on.
They did say they're going to be behind the camera as well as in front. So.
That's right. And it'll be in front of the camera a little bit. Michelle, what do you think about that?
They do seem like they actually like each other, which is huge.
That is different. That's a new thing because right. Other than, well, you know what? George and Laura Bush, you could tell were very close. But, you know, the Clintons and the Trumps, you know, who are basically it's the same thing. You know, just one's Democrat, one's Republican. But it's basically got the same thing going on there.
It's a working partnership.
Yeah, exactly.
Partnership in progress.
Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, what you see going on there.
So they're going to produce a diverse mix of content, including scripted series, unscripted series, docu-series, documentaries, and features.
Okay.
Higher Ground Productions banner. So there you go. Look for their stuff when you Netflix and chill.
You want to go low so we can go high?
Oh, no. Can don't do go there.
Bro.
Oh, God. Anyway. This is sort of what it is. Hey, well, that's all good. Netflix, though, there's one little problem with Netflix. There's too much of it.
Oh, there is. It's so overwhelming.
Too many good things.
When you go to a restaurant with a very large menu, decide.
Right. Yeah. You're just,
condense it up a little bit.
I could spend 30 minutes looking on the menu of Netflix before I decide what it is I want to watch.
Trailer, and then you forget. You're like, wait, what were my top three?
Yeah, and then you're
again?
Falling asleep. It's like been an hour. You're like, I'm done. Forget it. I'm going to bed. I don't have time to watch anything after I spent an hour browsing.
Right. Just read the little paragraphs of, you know, of the
there's a trailer
overview.
Button if you don't want to watch or read the paragraphs.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. You get on the trailer binge. You just start watching trailers for an hour.
Yeah. Then you're
and
like,
then I feel like I watched the movie. I'm like, oh, that was great.
You have to know what you're going there for.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's just too much.
Focus.
It's a supermarket.
Don't go with an open mind.
And then if you're like, I don't know, I can finally get it, then you spend another 30 minutes on Hulu looking for something. And then you find, you know what? I got the Amazon. I got Amazon Prime. I'm going to go over and look at that. Okay, let's see. And another 90 minutes of searching for something, and I'm too tired to watch.
Then you're looking at your actual hard copy DVDs. You're like, forget it.
Let's put
see what we got in the old DVD box.
And it's like, whatever happened to just television, which we're going to get to in a little bit, because I had an American Idol epiphany last night.
Oh, figured something out about
something
American Idol.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting.
Anyway, the Netflix deal, $300 million they think it's worth. It's on top.
I don't understand how they're making money over there. I mean, I know they're charging me. I can't remember how much, though, because I can't remember how much I'm paying for any of this. I pay more a month for my television entertainment between my cable. I got cable and satellite, which is like a ridiculous thing. But I'm afraid I'm going to miss something if the storms move in, and I don't want to give up the NFL package.
No, I understand.
So I got
that's a problem in our household.
Right. And then I got that. Although, I got to tell you, Comcast got a better picture now. That's like a whole thing. It's like, all of a sudden I'm feeling a little ripped off by
DirecTV. My DirecTV just, like, updated. I'm like, what? I don't even understand the guide. I'm like, when did this happen?
The guide, the letters in the guide are too small now.
Yeah.
And then I got the Netflix, I got the Hulu, and I got the Amazon. And between all of that and the Apple TV, I don't know what the hell I'm watching. It could take me 6 hours. I need a guy. I need to hire a guy. I spend over $1,000 a month
on a guy.
Television. I got to hire a guy to other than Richard Roper.
Richard
to
Roper
tell me
has
what
an app. You just go to it. You figure out what he gave recently, you know, 4 stars to, and then you go.
But I need it for everything.
You need like an intimidator. Someone to just like pick.
Yeah. And then sports. And I'm like, trying to find sports. I don't know where it is anymore.
Well, the Xfinity remote's like the best thing ever. It makes me want
to
watch more TV.
Because
it's
you
like
just
your
talk
old friend. You're like, hello, remote.
Yeah,
I always talk at the wrong time, though, and then it's like getting my conversation.
There's a shocker.
It's getting my conversation.
The remote's
of
like, shut up already.
Oh, gee.
Really, are you going to talk to her again? What?
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Do you think Richard Rover would just stand in my den?
No.
In the corner and
I
just
don't.
Tell me what to watch?
I think he would tell you to get a life.
He needs an artificial intelligence app is what he needs. Where it's just like a virtual Richard Roper.
Yeah.
Tells you. You see, Richard Roper is the star of the Deadpool 2 the movie commercial.
Movie poster. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's great.
His review
was the star.
Front and center.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. All right. You know, he's on this program.
Number five.
President today says there is no one more qualified to lead the CIA than Gina Haspel. The president made his comments at the swearing-in ceremony for the new director.
It took courage for her to say yes. In the face of a lot of very negative politics and what was supposed to be a negative vote. But I'll tell you, when you testified before the committee, it was over. There was not much they could say. There was nobody more qualified than you, and you are going to do a fantastic job, Gina.
Here's what she said about her own nomination.
I would not be standing before you today if not for the remarkable courage and dedication displayed by generations of OSS and agency women in roles both large and small, who challenged stereotypes, broke down barriers, and opened doors for the rest of us. I am deeply indebted to them, and I am extremely proud to follow in their footsteps and to carry on their extraordinary legacy. I stand on the shoulders of heroines who never sought public acclaim, but served as inspirations to the generations that came after them.
Mm-hmm. We didn't run the applause here, but what is interesting is when you watch that today,
yeah.
The number of women in the room who were very vocal in their applause for her.
Right.
It was really interesting because CIA has probably in the intelligence and law enforcement division of the government, probably has the highest percentage of women based on employment of any of those organizations. DHS or FBI or, you know, DOJ. And it's fascinating because you've got analysts, you've got field officers. Obviously, you know, you got the infamous story of Zero Dark 30,
yeah,
right? Where, you know, this one woman was a lone voice. And you see how complicated that process is. And they're very, and it's one of the great things I think about the CIA is that it is such a varied group of people in that organization because they have to have them.
Sure, you need
for everything,
them.
For analysis,
intelligence,
and
work.
For you know, covert operations.
So cool of her to give a tip of the hat to the women who came before,
right. And a letter from two little girls too, who were there in attendance and looked absolutely petrified, as did everybody who's in that room because you're in a room filled with CIA agents, aren't you? Like just absolutely petrified.
Think of all the serious looking faces.
Yeah, let's think about it.
I've seen a lot of things.
Oh,
number four.
Former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper told CNN today that the president's call for the Department of Justice to investigate the FBI and the surveillance that the government did on his campaign is an assault on the Department of Justice's own independence.
I think that's actually a very disturbing assault on the independence of the Department of Justice. And I think when the president, this president or any president, tries to use the Department of Justice as kind of a private investigatory body, that's not good for the country.
Yes. By the way, mm-hmm. James Clapper will be here tomorrow at 4:40.
How about that?
Talk to us about this as well. There's more.
If the concern was the Russians are trying to get to the Trump folk, why not go to them openly?
Well, this is one of many techniques you can observe, you can use or bring to bear, the FBI can, in the interest of determining whether there was active efforts on the part of by the Russians to infiltrate the campaign, whether it was his campaign or any other campaign. The important thing here is a foreign nation, particularly an adversary, trying to influence a political campaign. And that's not good for the country.
It'll be interesting to talk to him about that.
I think it's really interesting that you've got these intelligence guys who have left, but they only saw things going up to January 20th of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They left when Donald Trump was sworn in. It was their last minutes on the job. And all three of them, the three major ones, Clapper, Hayden, and Brennan, have all come out and said, hey, look out, something's coming here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just based on what they knew going into this. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow at 4:40 with James Clapper right here. But first, let's find out from Judy Pilak what's coming up on the WGN News at 5:30.
Some monkey business after a plane from O'Hare lands in San Antonio.
Oh, no. Was it a comfort monkey?
It was a baboon.
Got loose. Baboons are pretty darn smart.
They are.
They apparently just left the plane with everyone else when it landed.
Act natural. Was it two? Was it like two of them? All right, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to blend in. I know your nose is a lot of different colors, but put on a hat.
Briefcase.
Here, put on a hat. Oh, sunglasses. That's a good idea. Sunglasses. Oh, put on sunglasses. All right. Here we go. And I know that it's going to look a little weird, but just all right. And just try to walk like them if you can. Stand up real straight. Okay. Let's go. No one will notice.
Please tell me it wasn't a United flight.
It was an American flight.
Well, if it were a United flight, the baboon wouldn't have made it.
Oh, God. So,
all right, Violetta, what's coming up in the WGN traffic right now?
Illinois residents fleeing the state. Why are so many leaving, and where are they ending up? WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9.
Okay. Top 5 at 5 continues right here. We're up to
number 3.
A Georgia cosmetic surgeon is in trouble.
Oh, boy.
Being sued for malpractice, reportedly recording videos of herself singing and dancing over exposed, unmoving patients during procedures, including a butt lift. And this, now listen to this.
Okay.
This is one of those deals. This doctor's name is Dr. Wendell Boutte.
I know. It's just you can't make this up. Boutte.
Boutte for your Boutte.
Right.
Do you like a better Boutte? Call Boutte.
And there's the accent over the E, so you just make sure you don't pronounce it boot. It is Boutte.
Boutte.
I'm in the market for a butt lift, so maybe I'll contact her.
You need some Boutte.
You may not have enough Boutte. You might want to check, see what options are for you.
I do not. You know, most white guys do not have enough, so it's like, you know, Kevin and I suffer from the
maybe
same problem.
Maybe they can take meat from certain areas of the body.
Yeah.
Reposition.
Yeah, just reposition gut to butt, you'd be in good shape.
Who wouldn't want that?
It's the motto. Gut to butt.
Gut to butt. That would be the name of my Dr. Gut Butt, would be the name of the guy that I would go to, as opposed to Dr. Boutte. Anyway, Dr. Boutte was like dancing and performing during the surgeries, and there was like a video of Dr. Boutte doing this.
Now, booty's all sleek, waistline snatch. Got a banging body and a smile to match. Yeah. Wow. Booty's all sleek, waistline snatch. Got a banging body with a smile to match. Yeah.
Do we even know if Dr. Boutte has a medical license?
We should check this out. You know, well, she's got some moves, too. These are quite nice videos that she's produced, wearing sunglasses in some of them and backup dancers.
Okay. All right.
Might want to check that. She's got a couple lawsuits to deal with right now, so I'm sure they'll vet that thoroughly.
There's like an open case Boutte, pumped up on the table in front of her. You know, when they're doing the butt lift, you know, your butt's up in the air. And it's like, oh, you can't dance during that. Take this seriously. All right. Checking in at
number 2.
You know, David Letterman and Howard Stern have had a very interesting relationship throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
They are, Stern was always one of the best interviews that Letterman would do because Letterman would get freaked out by Howard Stern. Oh, the world is freaked out by Howard Stern.
Yeah,
that's how he's become close to a billionaire doing what he does, because it just freaks people out. So Letterman had to put him on the next installment of the Netflix series, My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. And he asked, and Letterman was asking Stern, about all those interviews he'd done over the years with the other freak show of the era, who's now president of the United States.
I'd say, Mr. Trump, tell me, who are the great beauties? If I ask you some names, can you tell me who the great beauties are? He goes, first of all, straight face. The great beauties, Howard, are not actresses. It's models and a lot of these girls who work in the, anyone who works in the entertainment industry, really, I've only seen sixes and sevens. So, you know, I'd say, well, Donald, I think Angelina Jolie is a great beauty. Seven. Really? Why? Well, come on. He goes, you know who's a great beauty? I go, who? He goes, my daughter, Ivanka. Now, she's a 10.
Oh, boy.
Ew.
I know.
Hottest daughter of all time.
Super hot. Oh man. Yeah.
Barf.
I know. Now, as a daughter, aren't you like freaked out? I mean, don't you feel like embarrassed for her? Like she would get embarrassed by that, or do you think she's into it?
No, for sure you'd be embarrassed by that. Your dad should not call you hot. You're beautiful. You're pretty, and you should cover up. That's how you know you look good.
That's probably true. It sounds like fatherly advice, but I don't know. There's something going on here. Weird.
Oh, yeah. All right. And finally.
Number one.
The baboon that escaped this afternoon at San Antonio International Airport has been captured.
Oh, thank goodness.
2 hours on the loose. Baboon was tranquilized and put back in a cage. So you got sort of this.
I wonder how this baboon got out. Oh, gee.
Like that. The animal was flown on an American Airlines flight from Providence, Rhode Island, at Brown University, where the baboon, I suppose, was getting a master's degree. I don't know. What was the baboon doing there?
Is it a... research
working in the bay. That's bad. It could have wires coming out of it.
No. I don't want to hear that.
It was heading to a primate sanctuary in in Texas. So that there was that goal, but then the baboon's like, hey, let me tell you something. All right, listen, I have been in a lab for like a decade. I know they said I'm going to the farm, but I know what that means because they always would send the dogs to the farm.
Because they taught me.
And I know that that's not good because the dogs never come back from the farm. So I'm going...
Serious concern.
I'm going to find a way when we land to get off this thing and make my own way here in San Antonio. No one will ever notice. Here's... Plus, I've been waiting to see Deadpool 2, and it's finally out.
It's out. You gotta
this
get...
is an opportunity. Maybe they'll catch me, but I'm going to get to see that before it's all over. All right, here is this a witness? What is this? This is an airline official trying to explain the lost baboon.
Do you know if the monkey has a name? I know that's random.
Monkey has a name, and I don't remember the name. Somebody shouted the name out, and I don't recall, but we can get that name for you.
Yeah.
A question has been asked, and I think your spokesman has answered it. Was it being used for research?
No. This was an animal that was on the way to a sanctuary. Clearly, one of my first questions was that, and the next question was, show me the health records, to ensure that the animal was healthy, and it was just like any other pet. Again, all up to date on its shots and no risk to anyone.
It's not Coach Fox. He didn't have a baboon.
He's probably having flashbacks watching that news report.
This is sad. This always reminds me, kind of monkey reminds me of Kitchen.
I can see that. Baboon arrived on a flight from Chicago.
I do like the idea. I do. Didn't get loose here. Actually, the baboon's like, you know what? I'm here. Everybody's leaving Chicago. I'm going to stay on the plane till I get to San Antonio.
Can we go to Nashville?
Can we go to Nashville? It'd be good. I hear Channel 9's doing a thing about Nashville tonight. I'm going to stay here. I do like the idea, though, that, the first question I asked is, is it a research monkey?
Really? Well, that is a good question to ask.
Does it have Ebola? I mean, what are the other things? What crazy disease does it have?
Yeah, but they didn't even answer it. They just said where it's going, not where it's coming from.
It was a dodge.
It's like, what?
I'm telling you. I'm the baboon. I put on a hat. I walk as straight as I can. I try to blend in.
Got a trench coat, some sunglasses.
They're smart animals.
Yeah. And I'm gonna act natural. Act natural. Or act like a dog. And then, they have those like dog wedding stations or whatever. Like you get off the plane and they got a little place where they can go pee, which is like in the terminal. And you're like, wow, who thought that was a good idea? Baboon's like, listen, I'm just going to get on all fours. I got this. I'm going to get on all fours. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to lift my leg. I'm going to act like the rest of them. And then I'm going to try to slip into the men's room. All right.
He's okay. Everybody's okay.
Everybody's fine. He's on his way to the sanctuary now. Damn it. This close.
Maybe they'll show him Deadpool, too. There. You never know.
It's a good effort.
This close.
He had a good run.
The top five at five.
All right, here he is. Our own
trying
Matt
to
Locke.
Sort through this.
Mike Monaco is with us.
Hello, Ro.
All right, let's see.
Hi,
now.
Mike. How are you?
Let me just give you the headline, and then you tell me what you think of it. Okay. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders just said that Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and Chris Wray, the FBI director, and Dan Coats, director of National Intelligence, are expected to gather for a discussion aimed at addressing congressional requests. Which means that the Congress have been asking for all of this paperwork that the FBI has on the Russia investigation as it pertains to Trump. And they've been getting stuff from them, but it's all been heavily redacted. They'd like to see what real evidence there is. And now the fear here is that Devin Nunes, who runs the House Intelligence Committee, who recused himself but then came back, the Republican who does that, who was the one that went to the White House suspiciously.
With the hot items, which allegedly then were turned over to him from the White House.
Right.
Yeah.
That they're afraid that he's going to tell the White House what they have so that there will be the ability for Trump to know what the questions are going to be if he does sit down with Mueller. That's the operating theory of Democrats at the moment. Now, here's the thing, though. Now, Sanders says that, according to a source familiar with the meeting, it had been scheduled before but took on heightened public focus with the president's weekend tweets, saying that the, quote, I hereby demand it will do so officially tomorrow, which is today, that the Department of Justice look into whether or not the FBI, DOJ infiltrated or surveilled the Trump campaign for political purposes. And if any such demands or requests were made by people within the Obama administration, exclamation point. So what do you make of this, Michael Monaco, former federal prosecutor?
Rosenstein has already, I think, responded to that initial saying that
he said,
if there's anything inappropriate.
If this is political in its nature, the Inspector General, and they came out and said this subsequently today as well, the Inspector General will look to see if there was politics involved in this.
Right.
But the question is there politics? You know, the president's playing this for, you know, a broader audience for headlines. He's just going to look at the headline and move on to whatever they're going to do in the day. Right. This is really the way the president does. Well, Obama did this to me, and he figures that people go, then it's all political. But is it political? Is there a case to be made for that?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, it sounds like the FBI acted upon real evidence that Papadopoulos and Carter Page were both having contacts with Russians, which they were. I mean, that is proven. That they've had contacts with Russians. And that's when apparently the FBI sent in somebody, this professor, I guess, to undercover to.
It's like a Hitchcock movie when they send a professor in from a think tank.
To talk to them to find out whether there's any truth to it. And it turns out there was truth to it, that they were contacting the Russians and they were attempting to get information from the Russians. That seems clear at this point. So I don't know what the president says this, you know,
By the way, Fox News is now saying that Mike Pence will be on this evening to explain this.
Oh, fabulous. That'll be helpful.
Well, they're in a full court press here. It's clear that the White House is on a full court press.
And nobody's there putting a filter on him. There's nobody left to put a filter on the president.
Who needs to put a filter on him? Because he figures every time he gets filter, he's not going to get what he wants. He wants to stop the Mueller investigation in its tracks right now
and
say it's all political.
In and of itself, without looking at any other obstruction of justice, would equate to obstruction of justice. To do something to affirmatively move to obstruct the investigation, which he knows relates to him, would be obstruction of justice in and of itself. What he just did this week. And that's why it makes no sense for him to be doing this.
Should he be allowed to see the evidence against him?
He should not be allowed to see the evidence against him. And nobody...
Who can stop him?
Rosenstein should stop him.
Rosenstein doesn't seem like he is going to stop him. He says if it did happen, if infiltrated or surveilled participants in any presidential campaign for inappropriate purposes, we need to know about it and take appropriate action. I mean, I don't know if that
but
means
that's a separate issue,
president.
Though.
Yeah, that Rosenstein should stop him, or the FBI director Ray should stop him. They should say if you're going to insist on this, I am resigning. It should
people
be like
insist
this.
On seeing this stuff because that's one of the things that they want to have a meeting with the chief of staff,
right,
and the DOJ and the FBI where they go through the evidence against him.
And this is absurd. This is absurd for the FBI and the Department of Justice to go along with that.
And the director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, who was the formerly senator of Indiana.
Right. It makes no sense for the Department of Justice to agree to that. Absolutely none.
But what about agreeing?
He's the subject of the investigation.
But what about agreeing just for the inspector general to investigate whether or not there were any political motivations
to
this surveillance?
That answers the president's request for that. So I suppose that's appropriate, you know. But even his request is inappropriate. Okay?
The way
even
you said it?
His request should be denied.
I hereby demand.
It's exactly.
I think I figured out.
Nobody's there to tell him. Wait a second. No, this is you can't do that. That is exactly.
But he did it, and he got away with it.
That's the definition of obstruction of justice.
So apparently, the U.S. Constitution gives the president power over the executive branch.
Well, that's
however,
true,
they like to keep a separation between.
Yeah, and especially if they're investigating him. It'd be one thing if it was some third party being investigated, but it's clear the subject of the investigation is the president. So for him to say I'm going to squelch this or make any effort to obstruct this investigation and to end it before it's over amounts to a violation of the Constitution. What he's doing is just insane. It makes no sense.
May I play now some audio I have of Republicans who have stood up to call for the continuation of this and truth and justice to prevail.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. All right.
You got that?
I do that. Nope.
Mm-hmm. It's all there.
Okay. Hold on.
Have it. You may play it.
There it is. There are no Republicans
not one.
Who have stepped up.
Not yet. Well, I'll tell you what. You heard the Senator Warner say that any member of Congress who makes an effort to divulge the name or identity of the undercover agent who was in the case in this matter.
There was not an undercover agent, it was an informant. They've already divulged
it's been everywhere. His name was trending today.
When you say an informant, he's working for the FBI. So
he's
in that context, he's an agent, okay?
Okay.
I'm not saying he's a full-time agent. Apparently, he was a professor who they sent in to...
Right, to ask some
questions.
Yeah, ask these guys what the hell they're doing with these guys.
By the way, any meeting with Russians lately?
Yeah. Hey, what are you guys doing tonight? You guys meeting with the Russians? Can I have a drink? Want to have a drink with them?
Going to the Russian embassy?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you guys want to do?
Well, this part of the campaign? Really?
So
and now we have the Saudis are involved or somebody.
This is an interesting thing. That didn't appear though. If you read the New York Times story all the way through, it doesn't appear that it went through. There were Israelis and Saudis who were both trying to offer up. With the Israelis were trying to offer up social media support.
For Trump, for his campaign, right?
Yeah. And Saudis were offering up intelligence.
Yeah.
And they apparently had meetings with Don Jr., this according to the FBI. But then if Don Jr. says, oh, no, we're not interested in that because I know that would be wrong, then there's nothing to it. But if Don Jr. was like, oh, this is great, Dad, listen to what happened.
Exactly. If he says that would be great. Just as he said to the Russians.
But they did not appear, there's no evidence that they appeared to have accepted it. I do think that there is that one of the things that we are dealing with here is we are dealing with the rookie factor.
People who have no idea what the rules are.
Right.
And but the FBI told them, the FBI met with them and said, you cannot take funds, you cannot engage with a foreign government.
Well, Don Jr. was busy during that meeting tweeting.
Wait, you're saying they told him about it before, yes, during the campaign?
Yes.
Well, they always do, right?
They met with them. They told him, these are the rules. You cannot take money or engage with a foreign government during the campaign. This is not part of the rules. It's over. It's beyond. What are they doing?
Is this a constitutional crisis, or will Congress just decide, hey, well, I don't know, we'll stay out of this. Let's just see what happens. Because the only way it's a constitutional crisis is if he
fires Ray.
Even if Congress has to get involved. I don't know that Congress will get involved. Democrats will jump up and down, but they don't have enough seats. And the more that they, and then Democrats jump up and say, we should impeach you, impeach, impeach, that plays right into Trump's campaign narrative of November, helps him.
That's true. I mean, he's playing it for the November elections.
As well as a guy who's guilty as hell can play it. He's doing exactly what a guilty guy would do if he had the ability to do it. Like, hey, we got to stop this.
Exactly.
They're investigating me. You know,
I'm getting a little worried here.
Right. But, you know, they can do the whole thing. Well, you know, they indict a ham sandwich. They're going to come get me. So they're out to get me. Have you ever had clients you knew were guilty and did that?
Oh, yeah.
That's what you do.
Large percentage, actually.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mike Monaco. You've made me feel so much better.
Exactly. This is scary. It's scary, Mike. Thank God you're here, Ro. Thank you
to help
us through this.
Yeah, that's exactly what
you too, Anna.
What Donald Trump is saying. All right, thank God. Right. Put Ro Khan in charge of this. He'll totally F it up.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much, Mike Monaco.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank
Good you.
You. Right
see
now.
See you soon.
Yeah, so probably in the next hour. All right, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Noah and Olivia, names you should know.
Oh, no. Is Meghan Markle pregnant already? All right, here is Violetta with the WGN traffic being brought to you by Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Conjo with Anna DeVlantis right here. WGN.
I think it's still raining. That's possible.
Yeah, it has been raining for a month, which is good, I guess, for your flowers.
Flowers are happy.
Although, I gotta say that the Des Plaines River has not flooded yet.
It was close. I was driving past it today.
That's where, you know, and it floods. It floods once a month, you know, just for good measure. Because the Des Plaines River is a useless river. It is there just to ruin the lives of people who live by it.
It's unfortunate.
It doesn't do any. It's not like there's like canoes and bodies. That's the only two things you see going down the river.
Drain it.
I'm for that.
don't get Rose started on that one.
I've am
heard
for
your
that
plan.
We could just pave it over.
Make it a bike lane.
Yeah. Right. Make it into
bikes are big now.
Yeah, well,
everyone
actually,
bikes.
I just like to put the bikes there as opposed to like downtown Chicago.
You solve
or
two problems.
On
you
the
get
606.
The bikes out of the city.
Yeah.
They're in the Des Plaines River.
Yeah, just
you
make
get rid of the Des Plaines River.
Big bike path. And it goes through the Des Plaines River, goes through all the Cook County, you know, forest preserves and stuff.
Perfect.
And then it ends sort of like it just ends. It just ends. There's no it turns into like 100 little tributaries and just is gone. It's like there's nothing to it at the end of it. And, I don't understand what it does.
What good is it?
No, it isn't.
Mm-mm. Provides a platform for that big canoe race every year in the summer. That's about it.
Well, then fill it for that.
Yeah, just
drain it.
Yeah, just fill it up.
Yeah, just get rid of that.
Memorial Day and then drain it
Move along.
A few weeks later, yeah.
I got a lot of plans here for this town. None of which
you're going to put a tarp on the lake and then you're going to drain the Des Plaines River. Just cut
tarp on the lake only during when it's going to make it colder as opposed to warmer.
That's right.
Like this time of year.
Retractable tarp.
I mean, it was like, it's god-awful down here right now because of the lake. But now when the wind turns out of the west or the southwest, I mean, look out. That's beautiful. That's the way it goes. All right. I got this thought.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight is the big finale of the first season of American Idol on ABC.
Okay. With the Katy Perry, the Lionel Richie.
Right.
And the
Luke Bryan. Right. And I had not watched a single, despite the fact that I have a mouse on my paycheck. half the time.
Mm-hmm.
I have not been, haven't been watching. I've been asked to watch, and I haven't been watching. So when we talk about it on When Do You Say Live, mm-hmm. I just kind of nod a lot. Oh, isn't that? Oh, she was great. I do a lot of that.
Whatever happened to Simon? Is he on that one?
No. Simon went off to do his other stuff. As a matter of fact, Simon ended up at the Billboard Awards last night. Where that that what's that girl who was in the girl band is now on her own?
Kelly Clarkson.
No,
no,
no. Kelly Clarkson was the host.
Alanis Morissette.
No, it's Kelly. What is her name? Kelly Karenji. That bap bap bap.
Yeah, what kind of talking about?
She does sort of like she does that Havana song.
Yes. Oh,
yeah,
that's
a good one.
Yeah.
Havana, oh na na.
Yeah.
Colby Kelly.
Colby. No.
No, it's not Colby Kelly.
No, no, no.
Who's
no.
the,
she does the
name?
Sad song, I think, on that commercial.
See what we're doing here?
Oh, gosh.
See, this is what, like the kids. This is kind of what one would expect. I'm playing to type here.
Camila Cabello?
Yes, yeah, her.
Oh, gee. Okay. Love that song.
And I don't know what she's saying after she sings the Havana part. It's sort of Havana. Yeah, I mean, what is what
half
are the other?
My heart is in.
My daughter sings that. I don't really know.
It's a very pretty song. But he's but he's responsible. You were asking what happened to Simon Cowell. He's responsible for her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thanks for her. Thanks for Havana, Simon.
Yeah,
thanks, Simon.
Got the Havana. Yeah. It's my version of it.
That's how you sing it.
Havana. Yeah.
You sound great. Trail off. Sounds
Thank
great.
You. It's really good. She's a great performer. It's a lovely young woman. It's all great.
Can you sing Despacito later?
Yes, exactly.
Despacito.
We've asked that both of those songs be arrested at the border and sent back to their home countries.
They don't belong here.
Yeah. ICE.
So what's the point here?
So the point is that I'm watching the Billboard Awards, and you got all these, you got the Havana na na na, and Janet Jackson. Who performed
she looks
last
so
night?
Good.
I know she's 52.
Excellent. Her face is amazing. It's
I tight, know. I like know.
She was, and she's beautiful baby face.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was preserved with some stuff. Yeah.
And then all the other NBC stars that they had to show, like the entire cast of Justice Us or Us is Just Them or whatever. It's
in
called.
The cutaways,
yeah, in the cutaways when they show people like applauding, it's everybody's like, going to be on an NBC thing. Right. And it was Andy Cohen was like all over the thing wearing a pink suit. Like, where's Anderson? Anyway,
mm-hmm.
then I was going back and forth between that and the American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
And American Idol is like hee-haw. It's all country pop. There's not that's all it is.
See what Taylor Swift did to an entire generation.
Right. Well, no, Taylor Swift is like Kanye compared to what was happening on American Idol. It's really interesting. Because I think they've made a very conscious decision at American Idol to go right down into that lane because the country pop music is still being bought
true.
Online.
That is true.
There's an economy for it.
And they're competing with The Voice, which barely does country.
Oh, that's
in
a good
my
point.
Opinion.
Classic counter programming.
Now there's two girls and one boy. And here's the boy. Now this kid looks just like Kevin. He's like, I swear to God.
A chubby baby face, he's 20-something?
Yes, that's what he's like. It just imagines, he's Kevin Powell, but I think he's like 20.
Mm-hmm.
And but he's got a super deep voice.
So
it can be a cold winter Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The kind where you can't get out of bed. You
right? Okay.
Looks like my cousin.
I know. He looks. I mean, what's his name?
The ladies must love this guy,
Caleb Lee Hutchinson, which sounds like a suspect, actually, more than anything else.
Country music singer or serial killer.
Right. Police are still looking for Caleb Lee Hutchinson. All right. Now, this is a girl. And then there's a girl from Pittsburgh. Now, this part I understand. She's from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She's a Steelers fan.
Mm-hmm.
Right, she went back to the casino on the river there, and sang for like 500 people, but she's got a southern accent. I can't figure it out.
Really?
She's like, oh y'all, let me tell you something, y'all, we're gonna play some music here, and you're like, you're from Pittsburgh, you should sound like Ditka.
Well, that's why this whole scene bothers me. It's like some kid who grew up in Brooklyn, and all of a sudden
right.
they have a country accent, and they like,
yeah.
they know the equation, how to throw it out there, put a poppy country song out. You know, and the next Taylor Swift.
So it doesn't feel authentic.
No.
Just a small town girl.
From Pittsburgh.
Living in a lonely world.
It's actually kind of a big county. Hella quick book.
Gosh.
All right, there she talent, she was doing. She's pretty good. She's pretty good. So she did the obviously the Journey song, and Steve Perry was there.
Oh, how cool is that? Gabby yeah. Barrett. Gabby
Steve Perry, and his face is about 3 years old now, I would imagine, based on the work. maybe 2.5 years old.
They are both super talented. Right.
And then the other finalist, so we're going to find out today. I think this is the winner here. Maddie Poppy.
Uh-huh.
She is a... I know. She's from... actually from the listening area. She's from Eastern Iowa.
Cool.
And she went back to Eastern Iowa, and they did like... they're like 5,000 people showed up for
Man,
her.
It shows you.
And she's interesting because she's kind of doing like the... You know, she wears kind of the... You know, sort of a country dress and, you know, sings like... You know, sort of like traditional country western, but mm-hmm. then she'll do an Alanis Morissette song too, and she wrote her own songs.
Ooh.
But she's sort of if Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men and from Handmaid's Tale,
mm-hmm.
if she were 20 years old and a country pop star, that's who this girl would be. She's interesting.
She's quirky.
She's quirky, but she's cute quirky. They had another one on there that was quirky. Looked like a sister wife. Like,
yeah,
like
she
from,
was really. She was beyond quirky.
Yeah, that looked like all of a sudden she's in like you know one of those like wait they found her in a cult. Oh look at this. But Maddie Poppy's cute and sort of you know the girl next door and I think they're going for that.
I took my love and I took it down. I climbed a mountain and I turned around. And I saw my reflection in the snow-covered hill.
Just letting you know, this one wins.
Boy.
Maddie Poppy.
Landslide is the go-to if you want to win, because everyone's like, oh, I love that song.
Right.
Is it just me, though, or does it seem like these three finalists are better than the American Idol top three when it was on Fox? Like they just
Well, it was a more diverse group when it was on Fox. Yeah. You know, you had... The musical choices were more diverse.
Diverse.
Thank you. I forgot my own word. But I think it's fascinating, though, because they each put out a single, mm-hmm. and each one of those singles, we played what their final songs were from last night.
Right, but they have a
But
song
they're all
they
country
wrote?
Pop songs, mm. or were written for them. One that Maddie Poppy wrote, and then the other two
but
had
originals.
The songs written for them. But it's all country pop. It's interesting.
It is.
So I think they decided, hey, listen, we got to sell some records here. Where people are actually going to buy them. Country pop!
Well, you think of how many people it appeals to.
Yeah.
Huge audience.
Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, that is, and Joe Donlin weeknights on WGN-TV News at 5, 6, 9, and 10.
All right. Maddie Poppy. That's a name you're going to be hearing tomorrow. She's going to win American Idol tonight.
Yeah, that's she's talented, although all three of them, wow. I'm pretty impressed. I haven't been following American Idol, but the three of them that you just played, amazing.
Yep. And tomorrow on the program, don't forget, we got White Sox tickets to give away at 3:40, and at 4:40, James Clapper is going to join us, former director of National Intelligence, who is, he's got some thoughts on what is happening here, and there's probably no better time to ask his opinion than right about now about things. Judy Pollack's news coming your way in 2 minutes.